Hello and welcome to People and Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. In this edition, we take a look at the rise of artificial intelligence and its environmental cost. While the tech world has been flying high on a wave of optimism over all the potential applications of AI, booming demand for the technology is increasingly straining energy resources. To give you one example, one simple search on ChatGPT consumes almost 10 times more electricity than one on Google. Antonia Kerrigan looks at how the world's tech giants are trying to tackle the problem.
It's artificial intelligence, but its power lies in its ability to draw on a vast universe of very real data, stored in data centers. And as tech companies vie to come out in front of the AI race, it's an infrastructure frenzy.
We've been building our infrastructure over 15 plus years. What it takes for us to expand is, first, obviously, we have to find enough land to be able to deploy these data centers. Typically, we deploy these data centers further away from metropolitan locations, both from a cost perspective and from an environmental perspective.
The United States are already home to more than 2,800 data centers. Vociferous energivores, their electricity consumption could be more than double that of the country's whole fleet of electric vehicles by 2030. So where does this leave their carbon neutrality targets? Google, after setting a target of net zero by the end of the decade, saw emissions increase 48% between 2019 and 2023, citing AI expansion as the cause. And data centers' huge draw on the national grid is even delaying the closure of coal-fired power plants across the country. But for the big tech giants, when it comes to finding that extra capacity, there are no bad ideas. Among their solutions, nuclear fusion, a technique decades in the waiting, but yet to leave the laboratory, or drilling more than 2 kilometres underground for geothermal heat, and of course, an arsenal of renewables. And it leaves scientists asking, are the promises realistic, and is it the best use of all this innovation?
If we are using more energy to do something, that energy we want to push for it to come from renewable and low carbon sources as much as possible. But we also have to ask the question, what's the benefit we're getting from this data center or from this use of AI? Is it benefiting humanity?
Tech giants claim that AI is an invaluable weapon against climate change, while scientists await more concrete proof.
Well, for more on this, we're joined on the set and on the show by Mary D. Wysocki, Senior Vice President and Chief Sustainability Officer at Cisco. The U.S. company is a leader in providing the products and services that basically run the internet and, as such, provides the tech necessary to run data centers globally. Mary, thank you so much for being with us on People and Profit.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it seems from that report like the world's tech giants are facing a huge challenge here. There's fierce competition to be in the lead in the race to profit from artificial intelligence. But the reporting here suggests this is driving up carbon emissions, that the huge energy needs of these AI data centers currently can't be met by non-polluting energy sources. Is this, to begin with, an assessment that you share?
You know, when I look at the last year, the pace of adoption of AI has just grown exponentially. And I think you really are touching upon how do we balance the needs for digitization and AI at the same time we're really driving innovation in energy efficiency as well as really accelerating the transition to cleaner energy. I think it's just going to require us to really rethink how we've thought about technology in the past. You know, when I think about kind of the current state and sustainability through that technology lens, we actually don't have the infrastructure that we're going to require for that climate future, that sustainable future. Often we've old infrastructure that is not energy efficient, as well as really using a lot of resources. So that rethink is critical.
And isn't a part of the problem that in order to build up that infrastructure, we need to slow down in the meantime with this race to this frenzy over AI?
Well, I do think, you know, when I think about Cisco being 40 years in the technology space, thinking about how you connect people, technology, devices, you know, I think about energy management as also networking, energy networking. And so I do think one of the key things, we don't know all that will happen with AI, but we know it, as you mentioned, will have a profound impact on the data center. So I kind of think about four key things that we need to do, right? We really do need to modernize data centers for AI to make sure that it can handle the machine learning and AI workloads. But we also really need to modernize and rethink our grids. Simultaneously, how are we digitizing and making our buildings more sustainable? And you can't forget, this is why I really think holistically about the topic, that we almost also have to think about protecting what we connect, making sure that we're also thinking about the security required for this modern grid that's going to be connecting energy from point A to B, not only protecting us from some of those cyber threats, but also creating resilient grids. So I do think it's going to require a rethink. It's going to require us to understand and build out many of our journeys to net zero.
You mentioned the security aspect here and the cyber threat aspect. This is a huge part of Cisco's business, and there's the Cisco umbrella here that itself has a network of data centers around the world. I think if I counted on the website, there were about 47 or just under 50. How do you run those data centers with that sustainability and with that energy efficiency in mind?
Yeah, I'd probably say we first start with how do you design the actual product? So a great example is we have a very specific ASIC chip that helps power these data centers called Silicon One. And one of the key things, that's why we've got to keep innovating around energy efficiency, because what we're doing with this Silicon One is enabling more bandwidth, more capability, at the same time reducing energy consumption by 50%. So it first starts with how are you designing those products? Secondly, then it's how are you actually designing that data center in the field? This is why I talked a little about the criticality of us to really refresh a lot of the infrastructure out there in the field. I'll give you an example. As we think about, let's say, a current data center, and look at using the latest technology, often we're decreasing the footprint of the data center by half because of the capability of the newer technology. Third, and really critical, is really thinking about how you're managing it in real time, that energy management, understanding and choosing, for example, what you do and when. Choosing, for example, to upload, let's say, a software update when you know that there's more available energy. And lastly, location. Where are you deploying these data centers is critical. Thinking about the availability of new cleaner energy, investing in new cleaner energy is going to be critical as well. So to me, you've got to think about all of those together. One of the key things, as we've made a commitment to be net zero across our value chain by 2040, one of the first steps is making sure that we're running our labs, our data centers, our offices with cleaner, renewable energy.
Speaking about that, a corporate social responsibility is such a big word in corporate life now. And it seems like it's actually not just a buzzword increasingly as well. In a big company like Cisco with over 80,000 employees worldwide, how do you, as Chief Sustainability Officer, manage to get that message across the organization?
Well, you know, I have been so privileged to work at Cisco. And when you really design a company around your purpose of how do you power that inclusive future for all, we can't have a future without that clean climate, that regenerative world that we're looking for. And one of the first things that we've been doing since all the way back in 2005 is making commitments around how we're going to decarbonize, making those plans, executing against them, being able to report publicly on how we're decarbonizing our business. But a critical part is really embedding it across the company. We've actually formed a Cisco Sustainability Council with representatives from every function across the company, because everyone, as they are thinking about how they're building the latest product, thinking about not only how is it going to deliver that business outcome in the most secure way, in a space that will return on that investment, but also sustainable. So it's really critical to really inspire and empower all of the folks at Cisco to really deliver that inclusive future.
Merity Wysocki, you are the Senior Vice President and Chief Sustainability Officer at Cisco Systems. That's unfortunately all the time we have for that conversation. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for, but you can find all of our previous shows where we discuss this topic and so many others on France24's website. You can also listen in podcast form. Just search for People in Profit on the podcast platform of your choice. In the meantime, thank you for watching and stay tuned to France 24.